All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1. This is David Chen from SlashFilm.com, and today I'm speaking with Turner Ross, who is the director of photography on 45365, a film that premiered at the South by Southwest Festival, and it won the Grand Jury Prize there. It also recently won the Independent Spirit Award. Turner Ross, thanks so much for speaking with us today at SlashFilm.com.
Pleasure to be with you.
If you had to give the elevator speech for 45365, what would it be?
45365 is a feature-length documentary film about intertwining lives and stories in a small town in Ohio, recorded over 9 months in 2007.
And 45365 is the zip code for this Sydney, Ohio, is it?
Sydney, Ohio.
Yeah. This is kind of a small town, middle America, population 20,000.
About 20,000.
You are from Ohio, right?
I'm from Sydney.
So I get, you know, the usual question is, why the idea for this movie? You know, and why now? Why did you feel like you needed to capture Sydney, Ohio in documentary form?
Well, my brother and I work together almost exclusively, and for all of our lives have documented our periphery in many ways. You know, we grew up in, when we were adolescents, our family got a camcorder, home video recorder, and you know, we were always drawing and writing and making home movies and sort of trying to spend time with the environment around us. And as we got older, Bill, all of our buddies, went to film school. We ended up working in the film industry, moved to Los Angeles, you know, Bill as an editor, I was working in production. And it seemed like our own work was relegated to a back seat, and it wasn't the prime focus that it should be. So about 4 years ago, we were taking a flight cross country, returning back to Los Angeles in our same jobs, and we looked at each other and sort of made a decision to jump ship and go for broke and try to push what we had formerly done sort of as a hobby into something of a prime role. So we decided to make our first feature. And in making our first feature, we knew that we wanted to do something that was authentic to us and sincere to us, and do a documentary. We'd always talked about the experience of the residual nostalgia of the place that we're from. You know, this growing up and the stories of growing up, and it was very inauthentic to try to fictionalize that. So we went back for 9 months and tried to capture a feeling and see the stories of that place through fresh eyes, through other people's eyes.
You worked previously in the art department in certain films, right?
Yeah.
Idiocracy I saw on your IMDb resume.
Yeah, I did. I did a week's worth of post illustration for that. Yeah.
Uh huh. And so, what was it like moving from that to, you know, being a DP on your own film that you had conceived of?
It's good. It's good. I work for myself. No more right. Bullshit.
Did Mike Judge give you a lot of bullshit?
No, he was a nice guy, but we just in the last couple months were able to pay off our credit cards after 4 years of not making any money.
Oh wow!
And prior to that,
congratulations!
Thanks.
Good to go.
Oh man, what a relief! But I mean, prior to that, we were making really good money. You know, you make good money working in
right.
feature films,
right.
And and we really, you know, truly went for broke and got what we wanted.
So, the movie, for those of you who, if you're listening to this, you may or may not have seen it, but it's kind of interesting because it tells that, it gives you moments from these people's lives, and some way all these people are connected, certainly by geography, but also in other ways as well. So you manage to achieve, like, sort of these separate moments with people that are also somehow connected, and I thought that was really effective in the film.
Thank you.
Did you know any of the people in the movie, so did you know any people in the movie, and what was sort of your process in terms of spending time with these people to shoot the movie?
Mm. Well, obviously, being in our hometown, and at that point in time being only 7 years removed from that town, there are going to be some fixtures there, you know, so we knew... You know, we knew the judge. He was a friend, and we'd also been in front of the judge. You know, we knew a couple of the cops, you know, for different reasons. You know, and one of the stories, actually, you know, the young man who's, real real troubled guy, ends up, you know, getting in some legal trouble. When we were small kids, 11 years old, that guy was my best friend. You know, so a few of those characters, yeah. But on the whole, we went back to that town looking not to make a, you know, make a home video of our friends and family. We went to that town to certainly, like, authentically seek out, you know, descriptive characters.
When you said it took 9 months to make the film, was that 9 months shooting or 9 months from start, like, arrival in the town to finishing up, like, production?
Oh, hell no. We went back in May of 2007 and wrapped in January of 2008 and then edited for a year.
Right.
And then premiered at South by Southwest in 2009.
What I mean is, how long did you spend with these people before you started turning on the camera? Or
oh, immediately.
Yeah. What would the pitch be like?
Well, it's always different. It's always different in every situation. You know, I think that what Bill and I are really trying to do, and what at this to this point has been successful, is translate something that we love, that we want to do with our lives, which is to meet people and spend time in their environments and make friends and listen to people's, you know, stories and just be involved in a different world all the time. And so we treat people, you know, as human beings. We establish relationships. We're always very sincere. And in a situation where you have to arrive on the scene and maybe start filming immediately, you know, we always say this is exactly what we're doing. We're not here to exploit you. We're not here for interviews. We're not going to poke the camera in your face. We just want to exist in your space. And most people genuinely, surprisingly, pick up on that.
Well, what I mean is, one of the, in my opinion, one of the best achievements in the film, and what I think is the mark of any great documentarian in for this type of film, is the fact that the filmmaker or the person holding the camera is almost like invisible. Like there's almost very little influence. You feel like you're not even there, and that's what's kind of cool, because you feel like these people are actually acting like they would act.
Yeah.
So was there ever any process of like getting to know these people a little bit before you started filming? And also, how did you choose the people that you wanted to film? Because it seems like if the town has 20,000 people,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that process?
Well, the process is very much like life. It goes from one moment to the next. So, you know, we would set up a scenario, say, like, when shooting in Sydney, we had this sort of set list, type list of people that we knew. If we're going to have a mosaic of a town, we need these certain component characters. An old person, a young person, you know, a woman, a man, you know, a cop, a criminal. Very generic stuff. And it's like, if we spend enough moments with these people, through them and their periphery, we're going to have enough material to find whatever it is we're trying to find. It was very generic like that. But, you know, the relationship is always, it's always different from person to person. You're going to be different, you know, than the other person, you know, and the way that we interact is going to be different. It's going to be custom to you. And so, you know, again, we're always very sincere and upfront, but also, I guess, you can't retreat on something. When you start filming, you have to be filming. And when you're having a good time and maybe sharing a beer with somebody, you're doing that. And you can't cross over the two, or else you don't get those moments. You've got people looking at you and looking to you for, you know, what should I be doing?
Right.
When you are filming, you are filming, and that is that. And then, you know, as in terms of the connections, when we meet somebody and start filming with them, the next person that they lead us to is the next person
that
we film
with.
Hey,
you got to film this guy, and then
yeah.
That's how you.
Oh, it's a web, because because we don't use interviews, because we don't do narration, because there are no story arcs, we have to use a web.
Right.
We have to go from person to person, and that's how the river flows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the strength of the film is it seems like it's really like pre-planned meticulously. For example, I think the opening few scenes, there's someone at the radio station, and then you cut to someone listening to that that radio show. So you had to some degree, I guess, know that, like, you were going to be filming the radio and it's some, like, someone listening to it at the same time.
Well, in terms of the film in Sydney, we knew that it was going to be so broad, and that we were looking specifically just for moments that we would need some through lines, and we thought probably one of the most intriguing ways would be the local radio station.
Right.
So we had a few of those types of, you know, themes to lead us through.
How many cameras did you have going on at one time?
Only ever as many as two.
Nice.
Yeah.
So talk about like what the release process was like in terms of like not the distribution, but I mean getting people to sign releases, or did you get people to sign releases? Because at certain points in the movie, people are doing things that kind of illegal, potentially, discussing doing illegal activity, and it sounds like they have, like, lav mics on, so they know they're being recorded.
They know they're being recorded.
Exactly. So,
this is not sneaky filmmaking.
Right, exactly. So talk about, you're not doing an expose, so talk about, you know, was that ever a problem? Or were people just like, ah, sure, you can film me, and they signed it away?
First of all, beyond the technicalities and the formalities of all that shit, we try to make sure that people are comfortable. Like when, you know, you're talking about some scenes from that film, I'm with those people. They are very aware that they have microphones on and that I'm filming.
Right.
They know what I'm doing, and they trust me. And it's important that we have that trust. Because if you get to a point where people don't trust you, and maybe, you know, you could do harm to them or they could do harm to you, you shouldn't be filming. And, but yeah, I mean, I had made sure those folks sign releases, especially if we shoot with minors, we have them sign releases, just because we don't want to get in any trouble.
Right.
You know, that's, but yeah, I don't ever want to get to a point where somebody, you know, somebody needs to consult paperwork. You know, if we haven't established those relationships thoroughly enough, and if we've misrepresented people to an extent that they would be upset, then we're failing. You know, because what we're trying to do is not do expose. We're trying to go and spend moments with people and find defining moments. And you can, you know, you can quantify it as good or bad. You know, you can say that these people, you know, are troubled or whatever. I don't think about it that way. I think about this is their honest moment. This is really who they presented to me in my time and place with them. That's authentic. You know, and the way that you feel about it, I mean, it's a document. These are real lives. They aren't characters. So it's hard. I guess it's hard.
Are there any, a lot of the people that read our site, listen to our show, are also aspiring filmmakers themselves. Do you have any sort of strategies to share in terms of how to build trust with documentary subjects? Or is just general demeanor?
Because
you seem like a nice guy.
Well, it's not something that you can approach like a job, you know? Like I said, the film, the end result, the film, the work is secondary in what Bill and I are doing. If there is no film, if all of this fails, if all of our footage is trashed, if nobody ever watches our films, we've still had an amazing experience, an amazing adventure, and made a lot of interesting friends, established relationships, had conversations, been in places that we would never be. And so we try to approach it as life and not a job. You know, if you go into some place and you show up with lights and mics and, you know, you come in swagger of Hollywood, who the hell is going to want you to be in there? You know, we spend time with a lot of different people. You know, we were in the ghettos of New Orleans. We're on cattle ranches right now. You know, you're in a 16-year-old girl's bedroom in Ohio, you know, and how do those people, how are they
going to... So talking about the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Now that I guess that could be a little bit weird, wouldn't it? But yeah, I mean, those are situations where hell, that might be a little bit weird.
Right.
Or, you know, we're two, you know, 20-something Midwestern guys. You know, no matter who you are, you're going to find an environment where maybe you're out of place. You got to remember that, you know. You're walking into somebody else's space. You know, just because you've got a camera doesn't mean that, you know, you have the green light.
How many hours of footage did you shoot? And
oh, Lord, we overshoot. I especially overshoot. Bill always bitches at me. But in that overshooting is where we find...
Like, total, do you think? Any idea?
When we shot in Sydney, we shot 500 hours.
500 hours, which you culled down to 90 minutes.
That's
so,
right.
Very impressive.
But, again, it's hard. You know, when you don't do... When you're not telling a story, when you're not defining people with voiceover and narration interviews, you got to find these moments. Those moments are sometimes pretty hard to find.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment in your filming where you felt like you needed to intervene in what was going on? Or alternatively, did you ever feel like your presence changed the outcome of a certain situation?
We try to. I guess you get asked that question a lot. And that's more.
Have you got asked that?
That's more theory. That's more philosophy. You know, like, does your presence change a space? Of course it does.
Right.
Your presence, your energy, this, you know, someone knowing that you're in the room, of course it
does. Okay, let's forget that question then.
Yeah.
Go to the first question. Did you ever feel like, oh man, you know, like, should I really just be sitting by and saying nothing? Should I say something?
I usually try to say nothing.
Was there a situation where you felt like you should have? Or?
Sure, there is.
I mean, do you have an example to share with us?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I guess any time someone is going through something, the tendency as a human would be to say, I want to interact, you know, whether it's violence or tears or whatever it is, you somehow feel a yearning to interact. But then again, if you interact, that moment is gone. That's a fleeting, very genuine moment that someone is expressing. And if they're not calling out to you, if they don't need your help, I mean, yeah, it's a fine line, man. It's a fine line.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody was being stabbed to death, I think I would probably interact.
Right.
So
why didn't you during the movie then? No, that's just a joke. No one gets stabbed to death during the movie. Was there ever any moment that you thought you were, like, in danger while you were filming, or?
Yeah. I mean, with this film, you're in a small town in Ohio. It's not that terrifying. But certainly, you know, there is a seedier element to any place. But you just got to have the right friends. You know, there's a late night bar. It's the last open bar, you know, the latest in Sydney in that town. And one night I walked in there and there was this giant man who's obviously, that was his territory. You know, I think that was the late night, you know, drug spot. And I came in there just filming because I was with a couple people. And he threatened to shove my camera up my ass and, you know, kill me. And there was another guy who said, you know what, you come over to my table and you just sit right here and nobody's going to fuck with you. And it's like, all right, you know, you make friends. You make friends.
One last question about the movie, and then I'm going to ask you what you're doing next. But you open the movie with kind of this really enigmatic, or this kind of ambiguous shot of you don't know what's going on. All this stuff is flashing by the screen. And then later on, we find out what that is. Can you talk about, like, why you chose to open the movie in that way?
It's a couple things. It's another one of those through lines, like the radio station.
Right.
Through lines don't always need to be characters. They can be sounds, they can be images. And so that was a sound and an image of the trains passing. That also tied in sort of thematically, you know, continuing to move, continuing this transitory nature of just continuing to move, you know, the cars on the train. So
got it.
It's connective tissue.
So you have experienced great success with your film. Congratulations on all the awards.
Thanks, man.
And
it's been very surprising.
What do you think you're going to do next?
I don't think I do.
Okay, what are you doing
yeah.
next?
While that film was out and on the road, we got nervous, so we started shooting another one. And we finished that one. We finished shooting that one in January, and now we're on to the next one. So 2011 should probably see at least one new feature. We also have some shorts that we've been collecting throughout. You know, once we decided to break away from the jobs and paying gigs and made this our focus, we've been working since 2007. This was the first thing to come out. So at this point, we have a backlog of stuff that we're very excited about. But since we do everything in-house, it takes time, you know. But we spent 2009 in New Orleans. And so there'll be an interesting documentary film from the New Orleans night. And then right now we're shooting in a small town in West Texas and on the border.
Is it a similar style movie or?
Well, I mean, it's similar in that.
Like 5-3.
It's not a zip code tour, but there are films. So I mean, they'll be recognizable, but we're not trying to do a sequel.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, the movie is 4-5-3-6-5.
4-5-3-6-5.
And it won the Grand Jury Prize at South by Southwest, recently won the Independent Spirit Award. And it's playing tonight at the Brattle Theater in Harvard Square as part of the Dockyard series. Although by the time you're listening to this, that will already have passed. But check out the Dockyard because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, very excited about those guys. Very
and,
nice guys.
And Brattle Theater as well because they're pretty awesome. And the man is Turner Ross. Look out for him. He'll be a force to be reckoned with. This is Dave Chen from SlashFilm.com. Turner, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
I really appreciate it, man.